the carpenter's house a little after the cocks had a crow, and dressed him up by a shot window that was upon the carpenter's wall. He singeth in his voice, gentle and small, "Now, dear lady, if thy will be, I pray you that you will rue on me," full well according to his geturning. This carpenter awoke, and heard him sing, and spoke unto his wife, and said anon, "What, Alison, hearest thou not Absalom that chanteth thus under our bower's wall?" And she answered her husband therewithal, "Yes, God wot, John, I hear it every deal." "This passeth forth. What will you bet then well? From day to day this jolly Absalom so wooeth her that he is woebegone. He waketh all the night and all the day. He combed his locks broad and made him gay. He wooeth her by means and by brocade, and swore he would be her own page. He singeth, brocking as a nightingale. He sent her piment, mead and spiced ale, and wafers, piping hot out of the gleed, and, for she was of town, he proffered mead. For some folk will be won for riches, and some for strokes, and some for gentleness. Sometimes, to show his lightness and mastery, he playeth Herod upon a scaffold high. But what availeth him as in this case? So loveth she this handy Nicholas, that Absalom may blow the buck's horn. He ne had for his labour but a scorn. And thus she maketh Absalom her ape, and all his earnest turneth to a jape. Full sooth is this proverb, it is no lie. Men say right thus, always the nigh sly maketh the father leaf to be loath. For though that Absalom be wood or wroth, because that he was far from her sight, this nigh Nicholas stood in his light. Now bear thee well, thou handy Nicholas, for Absalom may wail and sing, alas." And so befell it. On a Saturday, this carpenter was gone to Ozenay, and handy Nicholas and Alison accorded been to this conclusion, that Nicholas shall shape them a while this silly, jealous husband to beguile, and if so be this game went aright, she should sleep in his arms all night, for this was her desire, and his also. And right anon, without words more, this Nicholas no longer would he tarry, but doth full soft unto his chamber carry both meat and drink for a day or tway, and to her husband bade her for to say, if that he asked after Nicholas, she should say she nister where he was. Of all that day she saw him not with eye. She trowed that he was in malady, for no cry her maiden could him call. He would answer for nothing that might fall. This passeth forth all thilk a Saturday, that Nicholas still in his chamber lay, and ate and slept, or did what him lest, till Sunday, that the sun goes to rest. This silly carpenter has great marvel of Nicholas, of what thing might him ail, and said, "I am a dread by St. Thomas, it standeth not aright with Nicholas. God shield that he died suddenly. This world is now full tickle-sickly. I saw to-day a corpse born to Kirk, that now on Monday last I saw him work. Go up," quod he unto his knave anon, "cleep at his door, or knock with a stone. Look how it is, and tell me boldly." This knave goes him up full sturdily, and at the chamber door, while that he stood, he cried and knocked as that he were wood. "What? How? What do you, Master Nicolay? How may you sleep an all the long day?" But all for naught. He heard not a word. A hole he found full low upon a board there, as the cat was wont in for to creep, and at that hole he looked in full deep, and at the last he had of him a sight. This Nicholas sat ever gaping upright, as he had kiked on the new moon. "And down he goes, and told his master soon in what array he saw this Ilka man. This carpenter, to blessen him, began and said, "Help us, St. Friday's Wide, a man what little what shall him betide? This man is fall with his astronomy in some woodness or in some agony. I thought I well have that it should be. Men should not know of God's privity. Yea, blessed be always a lewd man that naught but only his belief can." So fared another clerk with astronomy. He walked in the fields for to pry upon the stars what there should befall, till he was in a malapity fall. He saw not that. But yet, by St. Thomas, me rueth sore of Handy Nicholas. He shall be rated of his studying. If that I may, by Jesus heaven's king, get me a staff that I may underspore, whilst that thou, Robin, heavest up the door. He shall out of his studying, as I guess. And to the chamber door he gan him dress. His knave was a strong carl for the nonce, and by the hasp he heaved it up at once. Onto the floor the door fell anon. This Nicholas sat I as still as stone, and ever gaped up into the air. This carpenter wend he were in despair, and hent him by the shoulder mightily, and shook him hard, and cried spittously, "What, Nicolay, what, how, what? Look adown, awake, and think on Christ's passion. I crouch thee from elves and from wights." "Therewith the night spell," said he, "anon rights, on four halves of the house about, and on the threshold of the door without. Jesus Christ and St. Benedict, bless this house from every wicked wight. For the night's very the white paternoster, where wentest thou, St. Peter's suster?" And at the last this Handy Nicholas gan for to sigh sore, and said, "Alas, shall all the world be lost eftsoon as now?" This carpenter answered, "What sayest thou? What? Think on God as we do, men that swink." This Nicholas answered, "Fetch me drink, and after will I speak in privity of certain things that toucheth me and thee. I will tell it no other man certain." This carpenter goes down, and comes again, and brought of mighty ale a large quart, and when that each of them had drunk his part, this Nicholas his door fast shut, and down the carpenter by him he sat, and said, "John, my host, lief and dear, thou shalt upon thy truth swear me here that to no wight thou shalt this counsel ray, for it is Christ's counsel that I say. And if thou tell it, man, thou art for law, for this vengeance shalt thou have therefore, that if thou ray me, thou shalt be wood." "Nay, Christ forbid it, for his holy blood." Quod then this silly man, "I am no lab, and though I say I am not lief to gab, say what thou wilt, I shall it never tell to child nor wife by him that harrowed hell." "Now, John," quod Nicholas, "I will not lie. I have found in my astrology, as I have looked on the moon bright, that now on Monday next, at quarter night, shall fall a rain, and that so wild and wood that half so great was never Noah's flood. This world," he said, "in less than an hour shall all be drenched so hideous as the shower. Thus shall mankind drench and lose their life." This carpenter answered, "Alas, my wife, and shall she drench? Alas, my Alison!" For sorrow of this he fell almost adown, and said, "Is there no remedy in this case?" "Why, yes, for God," quod Handy Nicholas, "if thou wilt worken after law and red, thou mayest not worken after thine own head. For thus, says Solomon, that was full true, work all by counsel, and thou shalt not rue. And if thou worken wilt by good counsel, I undertake, without a mast or sail, yet shall I save an her, and thee, and me. Hast thou not heard how savoured was Noah, when that our Lord had warned him before that all the world with water should be law?" "Yes," quod this carpenter, "full year ago." Hast thou not heard, quod Nicholas, also the sorrow of Noah with his fellowship ere that he might get his wife to ship? He had liever, I dare well undertake, at thilke time, than all his weathers black, that she had had a ship herself alone. And therefore, wast thou what is best to done? This asketh haste, and of a hasty thing men may not preach or make in tarrying. Anon, go get us fast into this inn a kneading trough, or else a kimmelin for each of us. But look that they be large, in which we may swim as in a barge, and have therein victuals sufficient but for a day. Fie on the remnant. The water shall aslake and go away about prime upon the next day. But Robin may not wit of this, thy knave, nor eke thy maiden Jill I may not save. Ask not why, for though thou ask me, I will not tell on God's privity. Sufficeth thee, but if thy wit's mad, to have as great a grace as Noah had. Thy wife shall I well save and out of doubt. Go now thy way, and speed thee hereabout. But when thou hast for her and thee and me egotten us these kneading tubs three, then shalt thou hang them in the roof full high, that no man of our purveyance espy. And when thou thus hast done as I have said, and hast our victuals fair in them elaid, and eke an axe to smite the cord or two when that the water comes, that we may go and break a hole on high upon the gable unto the garden ward over the stable, that we may freely pass and forth our way when that the great shower is gone away, then shalt thou swim as merry, I undertake, as does the white duck after her drake. Then will I creep, how, Alison, how, John, be merry, for the flood will pass anon, and thou wilt say, Hail, Master Nicolay, good morrow, I see thee well, for it is day, and then shall we be lords all our life of all the world, as Noah and his wife. But of one thing I warn thee full right. Be well advised on that ilka night that we be entered into ship's board, that none of us ne speak not a word, nor creep, nor cry, but be in his prayer, for it is God's own hest, dear. Thy wife and thou must hang far a twin, for that betwixt you shall be no sin, no more in looking than there shall indeed. This ordinance is said. Go, God thee speed. Tomorrow at night, when men be all asleep, into our kneading tubs will we creep, and sitten there, abiding God's grace. Go now thy way, I have no longer space to make of this no longer sermoning. Men say thus, send the wise, and say nothing. Thou art so wise, it needeth thee not teach. Go, save our lives, and that I thee beseech. This silly carpenter goes forth his way. Full oft he said, alas, and well away, and to his wife he told his privity, and she was ware, and knew it better than he, what all this quaint cast was for to say. But natheless she fared as she would die, and said, alas, go forth thy way anon, help us to scape, or we be dead each one. I am thy true, very wedded wife. Go, dear spouse, and help to save our life. Lo, which a great thing is affection. Men may die of imagination, so deep may impression betake. This silly carpenter beginneth quake. Him thinketh verily that he may see Noah's flood come wallowing as the sea to drench an Alison his honey dear. He weepeth, waileth, maketh sorry cheer. He sigheth with full many a sorry swath. He goes and getteth him a kneading trough, and after that a tub and kimmelin, and privily he sent them to his inn and hung them in the roof in privity. His own hand he made ladders three to climb in by the rungs and the stalks unto the tubs hanging in the baulks, and them he victualled, both trough and tub, with bread and cheese and good ale in a job sufficing right enough as for a day. But ere that he had made all this array, he sent his knave, and eke his wench also, upon his need to London for to go. And on the Monday, when it drew to night, he shut his door withouten candlelight, and dressed all thing as it should be. And shortly up they clomben, all three. They sitten still, well a furlong way. "Now Paternoster clum," said Nicolay. "And clum," quod John. "And clum," said Alison. "This carpenter said his devotion, and still he sits, and biddeth his prayer, awaiting on the rain if he adhere. The dead sleep for weary business fell on this carpenter, right as I guess about curfew time or little more. For travailing of his ghost he groaneth sore, and eft he rooteth for his head mislay. Down off the ladder stalketh Nicolay, and Alison full softer down she sped. Withouten words more they go to bed, there as the carpenter is wont to lie. There was the revel and the melody, and thus lie Alison and Nicholas in business of mirth and of solace, till that the bell of lords gan to ring, and friars in the chancel gan to sing. This parish clerk, this amorous Absalom, that is for love always so woe begone, upon the Monday was at Osney with company, him to disport and play, and asked upon case a cloisterer full privily after John the carpenter, and he drew him apart out of the kirk, and said, "I knowed. I saw him here not work since Saturday. I trow that he be went for timber. There our abbot has him sent, for he is wont for timber for to go and dwell in at the Grange a day or two, or else he is at his house, certain. Where that he be, I cannot soothly say." This Absalom full jolly was and light, and thought, "Now is time to wake all night, for sickly I saw him not stirring about his door since day began to spring. So may I thrive, I shall at cockscrow full privily knocking at his window that stands full low upon his bower's wall. To Alison now will I tell an all my love-longing, for yet I shall not miss that at the least way I shall her kiss. Some manner comfort shall I have parfait. My mouth is itched all this long day. That is a sign of kissing at the least. All night me matter eke I was at a feast. Therefore I will go sleep an hour or tway, and all the night then will I wake and play." When that the first cock has crowed anon, up wrist this jolly lover, Absalom, and him arrayeth gay at point device. But first he cheweth grain and liquorice to smell and sweet. Ere he had combed his hair, under his tongue a true love he bare, for thereby went he to be gracious. He roameth to the carpenter's house, and he stands still under the shot window. Unto his breast it wrought, it was so low and soft, he coffeth with a semi-sound. "What do you, honeycomb? Sweet Alison, my fair bird, my sweet cinnamon, awaketh lemon mine and speak to me. Well, little thinking you upon my woe, that for your love I sweat where I go. No wonder it is, though, that I swelt and sweat. I mourn as does the lamb after the teat. Iwis lemon, I have such love longing that like a turtle true is my mourning. I may not eat no more than a maid." "Go from the window, Jack fool," she said. "As help me God, it will not be compay my love another, or else I were to blame. Well bet than thee, by Jesus, Absalom, go forth thy way, or I will cast a stone, and let me sleep a 20-devil way." "Alas," quod Absalom, "and well away, that true love was e'er so ill beset. Then kiss me, since that it may be no bet, for Jesus' love, and for the love of me. Wilt thou then go thy way therewith? Quod she. Yea, certes, Leman, quod this Absalom. Then make thee ready, quod she. I come anon. And unto Nicholas she said still, Now hush, and thou shalt laugh and all thy fill. This Absalom down set him on his knees and said, I am a lord at all degrees, for after this I hope there cometh more, Leman, thy grace, and sweet bird, thine oar. The window she undoes, and that in haste. Have done, quod she. Come off and speed thee fast, lest that our neighbours thee espy. This Absalom gan wipe his mouth full dry. Dark was the night as pitch or as the coal, and at the window out she put her hole. And Absalom him fell nor bet nor worse, but with his mouth he kissed her naked ass full savourly, ere he was ware of this. Aback he starts, and thought it was amiss, for well he wist a woman has no beard. He felt a thing all rough and longy-haired, and said, Fie, alas, what have I do? Hee-hee, quod she, and clapped the window to, and Absalom goes forth a sorry pace. A beard, quod handy Nicholas. By God's corpus, this goes fair and well. This silly Absalom heard every deal, and on his lip he gan for anger bite, and to himself he said, I shall thee quite. Who rubbeth now? Who frotteth now his lips with dust, with sand, with straw, with cloth, with chips, but Absalom that says full oft, Alas! My soul betake I unto Satan us, but me were liever than all this town, quod he, of this despite a reckon for to be. Alas! Quod he, alas! I nadi blent. His hot love is cold, and all he quenched, for from that time that he had kissed her ass of paramours he set not a curse, for he was healed of his malady. Full often paramours he gan defy, and wept as does a child that is a beat. A soft pace he went over the street unto a smith, Menclepen Dorn Gervais, that in his forge smithed plough harness. He sharpened share and coulter busily. This Absalom knocks all easily, and said, Undo Gervais, and that anon. What? Who art thou? It am I, Absalom. What? Absalom? What, Christ, sweet tree, why rise you so wrath? Hey, Ben City, what aileth you? Some gay girl, God it wot, hath brought you thus upon the veritat. By Saint Neot, you wot well what I mean. This Absalom ne wrought not a bean of all his play. No word again he gave. He had more toe on his distaff than Gervais knew, and said, Friend, so dear, that hot coulter in the chimney here has lended me. I have therewith to do, and I will bring it thee again full soon. Gervais answered, Certes, when in gold or in a poke, nobles all untold, thou shouldst it have, as I am true smith. Hey, Christ's foe, what will you do therewith? Thereof, quod Absalom, be as be may, I shall well tell it thee another day, and caught the coulter by the cold steel. Full soft out at the door he gan to steal, and went unto the carpenter's wall. He coffeth first, and knocketh therewithal upon the window, right as he did ere. This Alison answered, Who is there that knocketh so? I warrant it a thief. Why, nay, quod he, God wot, my sweet leaf, I am thine Absalom, my darling. Of gold, quod he, I have thee brought a ring. My mother gave it me, so God me save. Full fine it is, and thereto well engrave. This will I give in thee, if thou me kiss. This Nicholas was risen for to piss, and thought he would amenden all the jape. He should kiss his ass ere that he scape, and up the window did he hastily, and out his ass he putteth privily over the buttock to the haunch-bone. And therewith spoke this clerk, this Absalom, Speak, sweet bird, I wot not where thou art. This Nicholas anon let fly a fart as great as it had been a thunder-dint, that with that stroke he was almost a blint. But he was ready with his iron hot, and Nicholas amid the arse he smote. Off goes the skin a handbreadth about. The hot coulter burned so his tout, that for the smart he weened for to die. As he were wood for woe, he gan to cry, "Help! Water! Water! Help, for God's heart!" This carpenter, out of his slumber start, and heard one cry, "Water!" as he were wood, and thought, "Alas, now cometh Noah's flood." He set him up withouten words more, and with his axe he smote the cord or two, and down goes all. He found neither to sell nor bread nor ale till he came to the cell upon the floor, and there a swoon he lay. Up starts her Alison and Nicolay, and crying out and harrow in the street. The neighbours, both small and great, in running for to goring on this man that a swoon lay, both pale and wan. For, with the fall, he burst and had his arm, but stand he must unto his own harm, for when he spoke, he was anon bore down with handy Nicholas and Alison. They told every man that he was wood. He was aghast so of Noah's flood through fantasy, that of his vanity he had bought him kneading tubs three, and had them hanged in the roof above, and that he prayed them for God's love to sit in the roof, par company. The folk had laughing at his fantasy. Into the roof they kiken and they gape, and turned all his harm into a jape. For what so that this carpenter answered, it was for naught. No man his reason heard. With oaths great he was so sworn adown that he was holding wood in all the town. For every clerk anon right held with other. They said, "The man was wood, my lever brother," and every wight gan laughing at this strife. Thus swived was the carpenter's wife for all his keeping and his jealousy, and Absalom has kissed her nether eye, and Nicholas is scalded in the tout. This tale is done, and God save all the rout.
At the end of the miller's tale, the audience of pilgrims laughs heartily, including the gentles and the clerics. The only one who does not laugh is the reeve, who grumbles because he thinks it was directed against him. For though he is now the manager of a rural estate, he has been a carpenter, like the cuckolded husband of the miller's tale. The reeve's bawdy tale follows his sermonizing preface, where he says that old men, like himself, who are past doing naughty deeds, have an ineradicable urge to tell naughty tales, as well as other vices, boasting, lying, anger, greed. His sermonizing is interrupted by the host, who insists he get on with his story, which turns out to be another fablio, this time about a proud and crafty miller who is nevertheless outwitted by two students. The miller of the reeve's tale, Simon, or Simkin, is proud of what he thinks is his wife's noble lineage. She is the bastard daughter of the local priest. Her ambitious parents and grandfather have plans to marry the girl into the aristocracy, no less. The miller is also proud of his ability to cheat the representatives of the intelligentsia. Two cocky students with provincial accents, from a small northern village, get permission from the head of their Cambridge college to take the college grain to be ground, convinced that, unlike their sick manciple, they can outwit the miller. But they are no match for Simkin and his wife, who let the student's horse loose to run after the local wild mares. Most of the day is spent trying to catch him, so the miller's wife has ample time to bake into a sizable cake the flour her husband has stolen. Simon the miller and his wife had studied applied economics, how to take friends and fleece the people, how to divert the attention of the client, how to conceal the take, how to make the client pay for his fleecing, and so on. But they were absent for the lecture on keeping sober until the deal is complete. Hence, their failure to realize that if you get drunk on a combination of ale and victory over the intelligentsia, and if you let two-legged stallions loose in your house, they will behave like the four-legged one that you released earlier when you diverted the attention of the clients. For the students are forced to stay the night and have to share the only bedroom in the house with the miller and his family, since they could not expand the space with their philosophical reasoning, as the miller had taunted them to do. But when the proximity to the miller's wife and daughter expands their erotic desires, the knowledge of the philosophy of law suggests to Alan a legal theory to justify his urge to combine vengeance and sexual relief. "For, John, there is a law that says thus, that if a man in one point be aggrieved, that in another he shall be relieved. And since I shall have no amendment against my loss, I will have easement." The delicious mingling of the legal and sexual meanings of relieved and easement shows the value of a university education when you need a law to justify your lust. As a result of the night's experience that follows this reasoning, they both return to Cambridge qualified to give lectures on how to use your knowledge of law and literary convention to swive the rustic aristocracy, and get your money back. For they do take the cake in more senses than one. The miller's reaction is grotesque when he finds out what Alan and his daughter have been doing all night. He lets out a howl of rage that his daughter, this girl he thinks so highly descended, has been swived by an uplandish clerk with an uncouth accent. His delusion of marrying her into blood of ancestry is shattered. Her blood of ancestry is the blood of her grandmother, who bequeathed to her only a weakness for sweet-talking clerks with a lot of brass. Here is the Reeves' response to the Miller's tale, and the Reeves' own tale, read by Ron Keith.
When folk had laughed at this nice case of Absalom and Handy Nicholas, diverse folk diversely they said, but for the most part they laughed and played, nor at this tale I saw no man him grieve, but it were only Oswald the Reeve. Because he was of carpenter's craft, a little ire is in his heart he left. He gan to grouch and blamed it alight. "So thee," quod he, "full well could I thee quite, with bleering of a proud miller's eye, if that me list to speak of ribaldry. But I am old, me list not play for age. Grass time is done, my fodder is now for age. This white top writeth my old years, my heart is also moulded as my hair's. But if I fare as doth an open earse, that ilke fruit is ever the longer the worse, till it be rotten in mullock or in stree. We old men, I dread, so fare we, till we be rotten, can we not be ripe. We hop always while that the world will pipe, for in our will there sticketh ever a nail, to have a hoar head and a green tail, as hath a leek. For though our might be gone, our will desireth folly ever in one. For when we may not do, then will we speak. Yet in our ashes old is fiery reek. Four gleeds have we that I shall devise: avaunting, anger, lying, covetise. These four sparkles longen unto eld, our old limbs may well be unwield, but will ne shall not fail, that is sooth. And yet I have always a colt's tooth, as many a year as it is passed hence, since that my tap of life began to run. For sickly, when I was born anon, death drew the tap of life and let it go, and ever since has so the tappy run, till that almost empty is the tun. The stream of life now droppeth on the chime. The silly tongue may well ring and chime of wretchedness that passed is full yore. With old folk, save dotage, is no more. When that our host had heard this sermoning, he gan to speak as lordly as a king. He said, "What amounteth all this wit? What, shall we speak or die of holy writ? The devil made a reeve for to preach, or of a suitor, a shipman, or a leech. Say forth thy tale, and tarry not the time. Lo, Deptford, and it is halfway prime. Lo, Greenwich, where many a shrew is in. It would all time thy tale to begin." "Now, sirs," quod this Oswald the reeve, "I pray you all that you not you grieve, though I answer and some deal set his hove, for lawful is with force, force off shove. This drunken miller hath he told us here how that beguiled was a carpenter, peradventure in scorn, for I am one. But by your leave I shall him quit anon, right in his churl's terms will I speak. I pray to God his neck may to break. He can well in my eye see a stalk, but in his own he cannot see a balk."
This ends Disc 4. The Canterbury Tales, Disc 5.
The Reeve's Tale. At Trumpington, not far from Cambridge, there goes a brook, and over that a bridge. Upon the which brook there stands a mill, and this is very sooth that I you tell. A miller was there dwelling many a day, as any peacock he was proud and gay. Pipen he could, and fish, and nets beat, and turn cups, and well wrestle and shoot. And by his belt he bore a long pennade, and of a sword full trenchant was the blade. A jolly popper bore he in his pouch. There was no man for peril durst him touch. A Sheffield thwittle bore he in his hose. Round was his face, and camus was his nose. As piled as an ape was his skull. He was a market-beater at the full. There durst no white hand upon him lay, that he ne swore he should anon obey. A thief he was forsooth, of corn and meal, and that a sly, an usant for to steal. His name was Houghton, Danus Simkin. A wife he had, common of noble kin, the parson of the town her father was. With her he gave full many a pan of brass, for that Simkin should in his blood ally. She was he fostered in a nunnery. For Simkin would no wife, as he said, but she was welly nourished and a maid, to save in his estate of yeomanry. And she was proud and pert as is a pie. A full fair sight was it upon them two, on holy days before her would he go, with his tippet wound about his head, and she came after in a gown of red, and Simkin had hosen of the same. There durst no wight cleepen her, but dame was none so hardy that went by the way, that with her durst rage or once play, but if he would be slain of Simkin, with panade, or with knife, or bodkin. For jealous folk been perilous evermore, albeit they would their wives wenden so. And eke, for she was some deal smotterlich, she was as dine as water in a ditch, and full of hoker and of bessemer. Her thought that a lady should her spare, what for her kindred and her nurtlery, that she had learned in the nunnery. A daughter had they betwixt them two, of 20 years, withouten any more, saving a child that was of half-year age. In cradle it lay, and was a proper page. This wench thick and welly grown was, with camous nose and eyes grey as glass, with buttocks broad and breasts round and high, but right fair was her hair, I will not lie. The parson of the town, for she was fair, in purpose was to make an her his heir, both of his chattel and his messuage, and strange he made it of her marriage. His purpose was for to bestow her high into some worthy blood of ancestry, for holy church's goods must be dispended on holy church's blood that is descended. Therefore he would his holy blood honour, though he holy church should devour. Great Soken had this miller out of doubt, with wheat and malt and all the land about. And namely, there was a great college, men cleepeth the Solar Hall of Cambridge. There was their wheat and eke their malty ground, and on a day it happened in a stound, sick lay the manciple in a malady. Men wenden wisely that he should die, for which this miller stole both meal and corn 100 times more than before. For therebefore he stole but courteously, but now he was a thief outrageously, for which the warden chid and made fair. But thereof set the miller not a tear. He cracked boast and swore it was not so. Then were there young, poor scholars too, that dwelten in the hall of which I say. Testive they were, and lusty for to play, and only for their mirth and revelry, upon the warden busily they cry, to give them leave, but a little stound, to go to mill and see their corny ground. And hardily they durst lay their neck, the miller should not steal them half a peck of corn by sleight, nor by force them reeve. And at the last the warden gave them leave. John hight that one, and Alan hight that other. Of one town were they born, that hight Struther, far in the north I cannot tell where. This Alan maketh ready all his gear, and on a horse the sack he cast anon. Forth goes Alan the clerk, and also John, with good sword and with buckler by his side. John knew the way, he needed no guide, and at the mill the sack adown he layth. Alan spoke first, "All hail, Simon, in faith! How fares thy fair daughter and thy wife?" "Alan, welcome," quod Simkin, "by my life, and John also. How now? What do you here?" "By God," quod John, "Simon need has na peer. He bows serve himself that has na swain, or else he is a fool, as clerk sayn. Our manciple, I hope he will be dead. Swow works I the wanges in his head. And therefore is I come, and eke Alane, to grind our corn and carry it aim again. I pray ye, speed us, Evan, that ye may."
"It shall be done," quod Simkin, "by my fay. What will you do while that it is in hand?"
"By God, right by the upper will I stand," quod John, "and see how the corn gas in. Yet saw I never, by my father kin, how that the upper wags till and fra."
Alan answered,
"John, and wilt thou swear? Then will I be beneath by my crown, and see how that the meal falls down into the trough. That shall be my disport. For John, in faith, I may be of your sort. I is as ill a miller as a ye."
This miller smiled of their nicety, and thought, "All this is done but for a while. They ween that no man may them beguile. But by my thrift, yet shall I blear their eye, for all the slight in their philosophy, the more quaint creaks that they make,
the more will I steal when I take. Instead of flour, yet will I give them bran. The greatest clerks be not the wisest men, as Willem to the wolf thus spoke the mare. Of all their art count I not a tear. Out at the door he goes full privily, when that he saw his time softly. He looketh up and down till he hath found the clerk's horse, there as it stood debound behind the mill, under a leafsel. And to the horse he goes him fair and well. He strippeth off the bridle right anon, and when the horse was loose he ginneth gone towards the fen where wild mares run, and force with whee through thick and thin. The miller goes again, no word he said, but does his note, and with the clerks he played, till that their corn was fair and welly ground. And when the meal is sacked and debound, this John goes out and finds his horse away, and gan to cry, "Arrow, and well away! Our horse is lost! Alan, for God's bane, step on thy feet! Come off, man, all attains! Alas, our warden has his palfrey lorn!" This Alan all forgot both meal and corn. All was out of his mind, his husbandry. "What wilt way is he gan?" he gan to cry. The wife came leaping inward with a run. She said, "Alas, your horse goes to the fen with wild mares as fast as he may go. Unthank come on his hand that bound him so, and he that better should have knit the rein." "Alas," quod John, "Alan, for Christ's pain, lay down thy sword, and I will mine elsewhere. Eyes full white, God wot, as is a ra. By God's art, he shall not scape us baith. Why, nad thou put the capel in the lathe? Ill hail, by God, Alan, thou is a fon." These silly clerks have full fasty run towards the fen, both Alan and eke John. And when the miller saw that they were gone, he half a bushel of their flour hath take, and bade his wife go knead it in a cake. He said, "I trow the clerks were afeard, yet can a miller make a clerk's beard for all his art? Yea, let them go their way. Lo, where he goes, yea, let the children play. They get him not so lightly, by my crown." These silly clerks running up and down with, "Keep, keep, stand, stand, josser, warderer, go whistle there, and I shall keep him here." But shortly, till that it was very night, they could not, though they did all their might, their capil catch. He ran alway so fast, till in a ditch they caught him at the last. Weary and wet, as beast is in the rain, comes silly John, and with him comes Alain. "Alas," quod John, "the day that I was born, now are we driven till Ethin and till Scorn. Our corn is stolen, men will us fools call, both the warden and our fellows all, and namely the miller, well away." Thus plaineth John as he goes by the way towards the mill, and Bayard in his hand. The miller sitting by the fire he found, for it was night, and further might they not, but for the love of God they him besought, of harbour and of ease, as for their penny. The miller said again, "If there be any, such as it is, yet shall you have your part. My house is straight, but you have learned art. You can by arguments make a place a mile broad of 20 feet of space. Let's see now if this place may suffice, or make it room with speech, as is your guise." "Now, Simon," said this John, "by Saint Cuthbert, I is thou merry, and that is fair answered. I have heard say men saltar of twa things, swilk as he finds,
or Tarswilk, as he brings. But specially I pray thee, host dear, get us some meat and drink and make us cheer, and we will pay truly at the full. With empty hand men may na ork stull. Lo, here our silver, ready for to spend.
This miller into town his daughter sends for ale and bread, and roasted them a goose, and bound their horse, it should no more go loose. And in his own chamber them made a bed, with sheets and with challons fair he spread. Not from his own bed 10 foot or 12. His daughter had a bed all by herself, right in the same chamber by and by. It might be no better. And 'cause why? There was no roomier harbour in the place. They sup and they speak them to solace, and drinken ever strong ale at the best. About midnight wenten they to rest. Well has this miller varnished his head. Full pale he was for drunken and not red. He yixeth, and he speaketh through the nose, as he were on the quack or on the pose. To bed he goes, and with him goes his wife. As any jay she light was and jollife, so was her jolly whistle welly wet. The cradle at her bed's feet is set, to rocken and to give the child to suck. And when that drunken all was in the crock, to bed went the daughter right anon. To bed goes Alan, and also John. There was no more, needed them no dwail. This miller hath so wisely bibed ale, that as a horse he snorteth in his sleep, nor of his tail behind he took no keep. His wife him bore a burden, a full strong. Men might her snoring hear in a furlong. The wench snoreth eke par company. Alan, the clerk, that heard this melody, he poked John and said, "Sleepest thou? Heardest thou ever slick a sang ere now? Lo, Swilk, a compline is he, mell them all. A wild fire upon their bodies fall. Why, hearken ever Swilk a furly thing? Yea, they shall have the flower of ill ending. This lang night their tides me na rest, but yet na force, all shall be for the best. For John," said he, "as ever mote I thrive, if that I may, yon wench will I swive. Some easement hath law y shapen us, for John there is a law that says thus, that if a man in one point be aggrieved, that in another he shall be relieved. Our corn is stolen soothly, it is na nay, and we have had an ill fit to-day. And since I shall have none amendment against my loss, I will have easement. By God's soul, it shall none other be." This John answered, "Alan, advise thee, the miller is a perilous man," he said, "and if that he out of his sleep abrade, he might do us both a villainy." Alan answered, "I count him not a fly," and up he rose, and by the wench he crept. This wench lay upright and fast slept, till he so nigh was, ere she might espy, that it had been too late for to cry. And shortly for to say, they were at one, "Now play, Alan, for I will speak of John." This John lies still a furlong way or two, and to himself he maketh ruth and woe. "Alas," quod he, "this is a wicked jape. Now may I say that I is but an ape. Yet as my fellow somewhat for his arm, he has the miller's daughter in his arm. He haunted him, and has his needs sped, and I lie as a draft-sack in my bed. And when this jape is told another day, I shall be a daff, a cockney. I will arise and haunter it, by my faith. Unhardy is unseely, thus men saith. And up he rose, and softly he went unto the cradle, and in his hand it hent, and bore it soft unto his bed's feet. Soon after this the wife her snoring leet, and gan awake, and went her out to piss, and came again, and gan her cradle miss, and groped here and there, but she found none. "Alas," quod she, "I had almost misgone, I had almost gone to the clerk's bed, a bensity, then had I foully sped." And forth she goes till she the cradle found, she gropeth always further with her hand, and found the bed, and thought naught but good, because that the cradle by it stood, and nist where she was, for it was dark, but fair and well she crept into the clerk, and lies full still, and would have caught asleep. Within a while this John the clerk upleaps, and on this good wife he lays on sore, so merry a fit ne had she not full yore. He pricketh hard and deep, as he were mad. This jolly life have these two clerks led, till that the third cock began to sing. Alan waxed weary in the dawning, for he had swunken all the long night, and said, "Farewell, Malin, sweet white. The day's come, I may no longer bide, but evermore, whereso I go or ride, I is thine own clerk, suave I sell." "Now, dear leman," quod she, "go, farewell, but ere thou go, one thing I will thee tell. When that thou wendest homeward by the mill, right at the entry of the door behind, thou shalt a cake of half a bushel find, that was y maked of thine own meal, which that I helped my sire for to steal, and, good leman, God thee save and keep." And with that word, almost, she gan to weep. Alan uprose and thought, "Ere that it dawn, I will go creeping by my fellow," and found the cradle with his hand anon. "My God," thought he, "all wrong I have misgone. My head is totty of my swink to-night, that maketh me that I go not aright. I wot well by the cradle I have misgo. Here lies the miller, and his wife also." And forth he goes a 20 devil way, unto the bed there as the miller lay. He weaned of creepin' by his fellow John, but by the miller in he crept anon, and caught him by the neck, and soft he spake. He said, "Now, John, thou swine's head, awake, for Christ's soul, and hear a noble game. For by that Lord that calleth his Saint James, as I have thrice in this short night swived the miller's daughter bolt upright, whilst thou hast as a coward been aghast." "Yea, false harlot," quod the miller, "hast. Ah, false traitor, false clerk," quod he, "thou shalt be dead by God's dignity, who durst be so bold to disparage my daughter that is come of such lineage." And by the throat ball he caught Alan, and he hent him despiteously again, and on the nose he smote him with his fist. Down ran the bloody stream upon his breast, and on the floor, with nose and mouth to broke, they wallow as do two pigs in a poke. And up they go, and down again anon, till that the miller spurned at a stone, and down he fell backwards upon his wife, that wist nothing of this nice strife, for she was fall asleep a little white, with John the clerk that waked had all night. And with the fall out of her sleep she brayed, "Help, holy cross of Bromeholm," she said, "in manus tuus, Lord, to thee I call. Awake, Simon, the fiend is on me fall. My heart is broken, help, I am but dead. There lies one on my womb and on my head. Help, Simkin, for the false clerk's fight." This John starts up as fast as ever he might, and graspeth by the walls to and fro, to find a staff, and she starts up also, and knew the estrus better than did this John, and by the wall a stuff she found anon, and saw a little shimmering of a light, for at a hole in shone the moon bright.